Hallelujah. All to Jesus. I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh my God. Oh my God. What we mean when we say that. Oh my, my. Praise God. It's awesome to be here at the river and to have been here these past few days. I know it was ordained of God. It was necessary that I be here, and I'm grateful to be here. Pastors and apostles, thank you for River of Life. Thank you for the Song Woman of God. Thank you for the worship today, worship team. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you, Elkhart community, for being involved in the community. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Apostle Leon told me to bring greetings from him. He's looking forward to coming here to be with you for your anniversary. And we're in the process of working through some things. And I'm grateful to be a part of what God is doing in Versailles and what God has allowed me to do. Thank you once again for allowing me to be a part of the ministry, the kingdom here. As I was coming into the community and as I was sensing, I said yes because I knew I was supposed to come. And I didn't know, but as I was coming, I kept hearing the word surrender. And what I knew was the old hymn, you know, or song, I Surrender All. And so as I began to read the scriptures, and I it's diverted some, but it's the same. And so we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. So if you would go with me, let's go to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter to start with. Amen. We're going to be reading a lot of scriptures. For those who want to stand, you'll be up and down. But let's just go to verse 11. First of all, this is a very familiar passage of scripture. And the scripture says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And so here we see that God has a plan. And so sometimes, you know, I haven't always read the scripture. I didn't remember all of what was taking place prior to this. So we're going to back up and just check this out and see what was happening before we got to this. Because I quote this scripture a lot of the times, you know, especially when I'm ministering. "For I know the plans and the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." But you know what? I needed to back up this time. And as I was coming into this area, and I began to look at Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. And so if you'll just scan with me as I read portions throughout Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, we see this is a letter from the prophet Jeremiah. Amen. And it says, "These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue," meaning what was left over of the elders which were carried away captive. Hallelujah. "And to priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem." No wonder they needed to know the plans of God. "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord." Hallelujah. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place of captivity. We find ourselves in places that is so unusual. And we need to have the word of the Lord. Because when you're in reality, when you're living in reality, when the paycheck's not going as far as it need to, when there's illness and sicknesses, when we're going through some situations, even as a nation, we need to hear the word of the Lord. We need to know, "For I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord." It doesn't matter what the reality is. So sometimes we find we're in captivity, and yet there is a plan for us. And the scripture says, sometimes, you know, we're captive, we're carried away. Sometimes we're taken by force. And sometimes life situations just captivate us so we just can't get away. Verse 3 says he sent this letter by the hand of, I can't say the name, the son of Shaphan the Gemarite. And then he goes on, verse 4 says, this is what the Lord of hosts says. Now this is Jeremiah the prophet, the one that when he was called to be a prophet, he says, I'm nothing but a child. So we know he's a prophet sent to the nations, but God sent a word through him, had him to write a letter, and then he sends this letter to those persons I just referenced. And this is what the letter says. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captivity. God knows just where we are. He knows just where we are. Sometimes we get swept along with the current. Sometimes we just can't get away. We just can't get out. But God knows just where we are. And he's got a word for us just where we are. And he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. He says, whom I have caused to be carried away. Sometimes I just don't understand God. Sometimes I just don't understand him. Things he allows to happen. But I know I'm not by myself, because Job find himself also in a situation, minding his own business. And there was a conversation that involved him. So Vernella don't have to know it all. I've just got to be a part. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, unto all that are carried away captive. And he says, I didn't stop it. He says, I caused to be away, carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay, so what you gonna do while you're there? When you're on assignment and you didn't volunteer for it, what you gonna do? You know what? You gotta surrender to the will of God while you're there. You gotta surrender to the word of God while you're there. And so while you're surrendering, how are you going to surrender? What are you going to be doing while you're in surrender? The word of God says, he says, build you some houses there. He says, I want you to build. He says, I just don't want you laying around feeling sorry for yourselves. He says, I want you to build. He says, don't just exist. He says, but I want you to build. And there's a difference between building and just existing. He says, build you some houses. He says, and then I want you to dwell there. He says, because if you build it, then you can stay there. You can live in it because you understand its foundation. He says, dwell in them. And then he says, while you're in captivity, he says, I want you to plant some gardens. He says, I don't want you to be relying always on the system. He says, even while you're in captivity, I want you to have some get up and go. He says, I want you to get up and get on it, says the Lord. He says, plant some gardens. He says, and you can eat. And then he says also, he says, I want the community to grow. He says, I want you to take some wives. He says, for your sons, and want some husbands for your daughters. And verse 6 goes on, he says, that you may increase. Even in captivity, even when we surrender, there's a place where we can still grow. He says, I want you to grow. And then I love verse 7. That's why we were doing all this stuff this weekend. He says, seek the peace of the city. He says, I want you to seek the peace of the city. He says, I want you to scout it out. He says, I don't want you to be cursing the place where you are. He says, I want you to seek the peace of the city. You don't like it, I understand that. He says, but seek peace. And that lets me know there can be peace in the midst of captivity. He says, and pray. He says, and seek the peace of the city where I cause you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it. He says, fall on your knees. That's why the scripture says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way. Talking about the church. He says the church needs to turn from some stuff. He says, turn from your wicked ways. He says, I'll hear from heaven. He says, and I'll heal your land. But we've got to surrender. We've got to know what to surrender and who to surrender to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to drop down. There's another portion of scripture where it talks about verses 8. In the midst of captivity. I need to go ahead and address this. Many times in the midst of captivity. That's what was happening yesterday at that one meeting that we were in. In the midst of captivity, in the midst of situation, if the church does not be visible, if the kingdom is not visible, false leaders will rise up. It's not just going to stay void. So in the scriptures, he says this, so you can understand this. He says, verse 8, so you can understand. He says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, not let your prophets and your diviners, not the prophets of God, he says, deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams. Sometimes we can want something so bad we'll manufacture it so it can happen. We can see it. He says, but this is what he said. He says, for they prophesy falsely in my name. He says, I didn't send them. Now, this is the word of the Lord that he's telling Jeremiah. He says, because when you're in captivity, if you're not careful, this doesn't sound good, but I heard this when I was showering. There is a song that was a word or a phrase that says, who's your daddy? Now, let me tell you what that meant to me today. The enemy will raise up some false fathers to take the place of spiritual fathers. There'll be false ones that will take the place of what the kingdom needs to be about. That's why we can't be absent from the communities. It's not just going to be empty. Something's going to fill it. And so then, but now then verse 10, here comes the real word of the Lord. This is part of Jeremiah's letter. He says, for now this is what the Lord says. The Lord says that after 70 years are complete, he says, Babylon, he says, will be accomplished at Babylon. He says, I will visit you there. He says, it's going to come to an end. He says, it's going to take 70 years. And for those of us that have heard the scriptures every now and then, we've heard about, I think it was Daniel that found in the scriptures about the 70 years and said, now is the appointed time. But we have to surrender to the process. That's why now when I'm looking at this scripture in verse 11, when he says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. He says, this is just part of the process. He says, but I know the plans I have for you, but I want you to surrender right now. He says, don't think it's the enemy. He says, this is what I allow to happen. So then as I was reading that portion of the scripture and I began to, I went to the Deborah's troop, and part of what Sister Laura was teaching on this piece of paper, I underlined it, and it talks about silent submission. And sometimes we can submit or we can surrender in protest, and that's okay in the right place. But then there comes something about what I saw yesterday was silent submission. And I want you to keep that in mind as I continue to teach. But I wanted to underline that because that has value in where I'm going today with the teaching today. And so even as we go on to the scriptures, I want to go to, I think I'm going to go to another passage before I go to this one that's dealing with Jesus. Let's go to Genesis. The 32nd chapter. Amen. Surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. So easily said. And sometimes we don't know what it costs until we get out there and we're in the thick of things. And so where I'm going to start right here, I'm going to start with Genesis, the 32nd chapter. I'm going to start with verse 25. Let's start with verse 24. And it says, and Jacob was left alone. The scripture says, Jacob was left alone. And there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place of surrendering. We don't know what's going to take place. Sometimes we find ourselves in what I'm going to call forced surrender. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place of voluntary surrender. And sometimes we might even find ourselves in a place of necessary surrender. Amen. And so as I'm looking at these scriptures in this particular light today, I want us to consider these scriptures in this light. And it says, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Hallelujah. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. The man, the angel that was wrestling with Jacob, he had to disable Jacob. He had to hit that thigh so he could get a breakthrough. And so the scripture says, when he did that, Jacob's thigh went out of joint as he wrestled with him. And the angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And so the angel was said, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to call it in. He says, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to surrender. But I hear Jacob saying, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. He says, I'm not going to let go of this hold. He says, I got you in a place. He says, I'm not going to surrender until I get what I have need of. And the scripture says, he says, I'll not let you go till you accept you bless me. And verse 27 says, and he said unto him, what is your name? You know, if I'm going to bless you, I want to know what's your name. He says, my name, he says, is Jacob. And verse 28 says, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. He says, I'm going to bless you with a new name. He says, if you'll surrender your old ID, he says, I got something new for you. He says, from this time on, he says, but you'll be called Israel. For God, he says, for as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. He says, you're going to be empowered, Jacob, that's now Israel. He says, if you'll just surrender and take this new name, he says, if you'll let it go, he says, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have some power. He said, because you're not just in it to daybreak, you're in it all the way. And so the scripture says, and Jacob asked him and said, well, okay, he says, well, what's your name? And I like this. He says, why are you asking me my name? And he just blessed him. He didn't want that name attached, that blessing attached to just one name. And so then what I'm saying is here is that we find Jacob was in a situation where he was en route. He was going to have to make a journey, and he really needed to be blessed, because when he left home, hallelujah, he left home running from a brother. But you know what? When we surrender, a lot of things in our past sometimes catch up with us, and we just need the blessing of God so we can go on forward. So we can say, all to Jesus I surrender, my past, my present, and my future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And so then, let's see if there's something else I want to share. Okay, let's see that scripture. Oh, Lord, help me find that scripture. Okay. What I like about surrendering is when we go back and look at Esau and Jacob. If you remember what happened with Esau and Jacob, Esau should have gotten the birthright, technically speaking, but it was already in the plan of God that Jacob was going to get it, but it wasn't supposed to have happened like it happened. Amen. But it did happen like it did. And so when Esau went back and he told his father, he says, bless me. He said, you got to give me something. And his father told him, he says, I can't. I've already given it away. Don't you know Esau had to surrender? He had to surrender to that had to happen. My God, he had to surrender to the word of God, even though he knew legally, spiritually, he should have had a right to it. But the word of God says, let me find it right in here if I can. the essence of what I want to share, and I can't find it, is that when Esau found himself in a situation and he had to let go, and then Jacob went on about his business and he did what was necessary for himself, there came a time when it was necessary for a reunion, for them to come back together. And what I found in the scriptures, and I'm just going to paraphrase this as I pick up another portion of scripture, is that Jacob, he was fearful to return back because he had violated his brother. And yet he found himself in a place where he was being forced to surrender, to make preparations because he didn't know what was happening. But what I like about it was that, but he knew what God had called him to do. And so my notes say right here that once Jacob decided he was going to listen to the plan of God, the scripture says the will of God commanded that he return. And so when Jacob began to set his house in order, he was trying to make sure that when he saw his brother, that his brother wouldn't just wipe him completely out. And so he put his family in sections, so to speak, like this church. And he was going to let some of them go this way just to see how things went. And then he would move another forward and so forth. But the scripture says that when Esau saw Jacob, he surrendered his right to be man. He ran and he hugged his brother and he kissed him on his neck. And see, that's what happens when you have a voluntary surrender. When you just realize it's just best, let's just move forward. And then you know what is necessary so there can be healing. Sometimes we just need to have some necessary surrender so we can have healing even in the land, that we can have some healings. And so even as I was making my notes here, the voluntary surrender, Jacob was willing to submit to Esau after over 20 years or more. And then sometimes we have necessary surrenders. Sometimes we just have to surrender to God so that we can get the healings that we need. Sometimes we just have to surrender so we can have the assistance that we need. And then, you know, I'm reminded also of this one. I won't read the scripture, but I'm reminded of King Solomon in the third chapter, verse 16 and 18. And that's that scenario where where King Solomon found himself with these two mothers. And you know what the story goes, that both of them said the child that was alive was their child. And you know what? You know, sometimes you just have to surrender your right to be right, because we've got to know what is the end result of that surrender. And so even as the scriptures show us in that passage of scripture, when both of those mothers showed up before Solomon and both of them wanted a child, and the one who had experienced death, she was just wanting a child. She didn't care whose child it was. She just wanted a child. She wanted to hear a baby cry in her house. She wanted that. Oh, but then she took that real mother's child. And when Solomon stood up, he says, I tell you what, both of you have had a child. I can tell that much. He says, but I'll just split it in half and both of you take a portion. Oh, that real mother, she surrendered. She said, oh no. She says, you let her take him. She says, I'll surrender him. She says, I'll let him live. She says, I want him to live. She said, oh no. She said, don't hurt him. She said, let him live. That's what that mother did. She surrendered her child. Ooh. Ooh, Jesus. I just want to know who was that child. Whatever happened to him? Whatever happened to her? Ooh, Jesus. Oh, it was necessary for her to surrender. Hallelujah. Jesus, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Hallelujah. I want to go to another passage of scripture and then I'll bring this together. Surrendering of the will. That is, yes, I love it, baby girl. I love it. I love it. When the surrendering of the will begins to take place. The scripture says, according to Luke, the 22nd chapter, let's go over into the New Testament now. Hallelujah. Let's say hallelujah. 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 Lord, we just don't want to ever be in the place of that mother, and we don't want to be in the place of Esau. Oh God, but if it is necessary, Lord, deal with our will. Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 42. I think I'm going to start up a little, I'm going to start up a couple of verses up. It says, verse 40, verse 39, it says, and when Jesus went out, he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at that place, Jesus said unto them, he says, pray that you won't enter into temptation, he says. And verse 41 says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. And he knelt down and he began to pray. Jesus had to deal with his will. He had to deal with what he knew was a part of the process. For I know the plans that I have for you. And so the scripture says, it says that when he knelt down and prayed, he says, Father. He says, if thou be willing, he says, remove. He says, remove this cup from me. He says, but never the lesser of the will. He says, but not my will. He says, but your will be done. As it is in heaven, let it be on earth. Jesus was telling the Father, he says, nevertheless, he says, I just want you to know I'm ready to surrender my will. He says, I know when I surrender my will, that I must surrender my body as well. He says, I know if I surrender my will, that there's a journey that I'm going to take called Golgotha. He says, if I surrender my will, he says, I'm going to have to put a guard about my mouth. He says, if I surrender my will, he says, that means I won't be able just to strike back if somebody strike me. I can't call that legion of angels. He says, but if I surrender my will, he says, give me what I have need of. He says, but not my will, but thine will be done. Surrender. Jesus had to do it. Oh, but if I surrender. And in my notes, I wrote down, Father, if thou be willing, remove this from me. In other words, I surrender. I submit to the greater cause. There's a greater cause than us. It's about the kingdom of God. It says, I surrender to the one I have chosen to represent. That's that ambassador we were talking about. When we represent, there's an ambassador. He says, I'll surrender. And then I went on and made a note, says, at this moment, with all things being considered, the essence is Jesus was saying, I'm not really feeling this here. I'm not feeling like a conqueror. I know what the end result would be. He says, but nevertheless, he says, I'm not feeling all of that victorious. He says, if I could, I'd let the cup pass from me. But nevertheless, he says, I'll submit to your will. And what I'm saying to us today is that we all are going to come face to face with the processes of life. We're all going to come face to face with the processes of life. And that's what I really liked about what was said at the Deborah Troop. Silent submission. That we have to step back into a place of prayer where we just allow ourselves to submit silently, privately first. Then we can come out and we can submit publicly. Hallelujah. And it says the greater cause. And I wrote here, it says, and we know what happened afterwards. When Jesus did that, we know that when he made that commitment, he was later betrayed by Judas. He was denied by Peter. He was mocked and he was spit upon. He was hit. He was interrogated like he was a criminal, but he surrendered to the crucifixion. He surrendered to the process, and therefore he had a right to surrender to resurrection. Hallelujah. He didn't just, that's how he got there. Hallelujah. Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 44 says, Jesus was saying, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you. He had gone through the process, resurrected. He was with the disciples. He says, these are the words. He says, you didn't understand it then. You didn't know what this surrender was going to entail. He says, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And we had Psalms 37:7 on the scripture, on the program. Rest in the Lord. Surrender to him. Hallelujah. And then the songs we sung today, we can trade in our sorrows and our pain. We can surrender death and disappointments. We can surrender when our jobs are lost and all kinds of things. All I want to say today is to remind us that there is surrender. Jesus did it. There's a voluntary surrender, forced surrender. I'm reminded, I didn't catch it all because I was hanging out with Dr. J yesterday, Dr. Cup. Serena had to surrender. It's life. There's always someone that's going to come. As we get older, younger people are going to come up before us. Generations. There's going to be surrender. We all have to surrender, but it's how we surrender. And what's the greater cause? Wars and rumors of wars. We all surrender. It's about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. But we have to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've got to be such that he can say, that's my son, that's my daughter. You know, it's kind of like it was when Stephen, I just hear this right now, when Stephen was being stoned and he kept on reciting the scriptures and saying what had taken place. And the word of God says, and it says, and the Lord stood up. The Lord stood up. You know what? When the Father stands up on our behalf, we want to have surrendered for the things of the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So be it. So be it. Surrender is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. There are processes. And it doesn't mean we just quit because we don't want to go through the process. You know, you can have a surrender of weakness. But we don't want to do that. So Father, we just thank you today. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your examples throughout the scriptures. Lord, that's for our benefit today. Lord, that we can surrender for the cause of the cross. We can surrender for the cause of your kingdom, O God. Your word says, for God so loved the world that he surrendered his son. Father, we thank you. Father, we ask you, oh God, to give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, we ask for there to be a hunger in our spirit man for your word, that we can have substance to hold upon so we know what we should do when we need to. For you know the plans that you have for us to give us a future and a hope. And Father, that's not always with roses. Father, sometimes there are some thorns amongst us. But Lord, not our will, but your will be done is our cry today in the name of Jesus. Amen.